It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
We got to change this. It's now for Brian Bulaga to introduce Jason Wilde on the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Pebble, can we get a new intro?
We can indeed.
Yeah. Take it away.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. We don't need a new intro. He could just make the effort to ask me how I'm doing, and then we can move on.
Well,
it's great to be with both of you, especially the old crazy knucklehead that you do the show with, Brian.
Thank you.
Well, Jason, we're just going to, I mean, we get it. It's the slow time of the season, you know, but, I mean, Homer and I were just talking about it, and, you know, guys are doing interviews per usual, right? It's this time of the season, and, you know, Josh Jacobs happened to have, you know, just be having a conversation, and he happened to be talking about the wide receiver group, and, you know, I listened to the clip. I'm sure you listened to the clip. I didn't think the clip was that, you know, I didn't see it as that bad, but he probably shouldn't have said what he said about needing a one, and maybe the guys in the room feel slighted. How do you feel about it?
Well, I know Homer has a strong opinion on it. I think we can all agree that you would prefer that he didn't say the quiet part out loud and said those things in a public forum. Now, I don't know, you know, if I was a company, I think Brian Bulaga would be a fantastic ambassador for my brand. I don't know if you ever actually have been to Radio Row, have you?
I have not. No, I don't think so.
So it is. I've been there a couple times. I've done shows there once when the Packers were in the Super Bowl when you played as a rookie, the youngest player to ever start a Super Bowl, by the way. And it's a crazy scene, man. There's a lot of energy. You get kind of swept up in it. There's people pulling you in all these different directions.
Yeah. Obviously, my last interview was with Adam Sandler.
Right. Perfect example. That's the example I use all the time because he big time. It was Drew Olsen and I together at the time that he was working the room. And you were taking over and we were not big enough for him. But then he talked to you, which is great because I'm glad we got him. But that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. Like you don't know who's coming. You've got to be able to tap dance as a host. You know, we had James Laurinaitis on. And
oh, wow.
The only thing I knew about him was that, A, he played at Ohio State. B, he played for the St. Louis Rams. And then C, that, like, his dad was a wrestler. So that was all I had to work with, right? And so you're asking questions. You're not the most prepared as you normally would be. And so you're kind of dancing as fast as you can. We had Sam Bradford on that same year. And, like, you know, quite frankly, I don't know what exactly Packers fans care about Sam Bradford. He was hawking, like, Axe body spray or something ridiculous. So the reason I'm painting this picture is because that's the scenario that Josh Jacobs is in. And as Homer and Tausch and I talked about this morning, from a purely, you know, what you would ideally like to have happen, Josh Jacobs saying that publicly and then the echo chamber that it's in. Because, look, let's be honest, he didn't just say it to Pro Football Talk, right? He said something similar to Kay Adams. He said something to one of our competitors in Milwaukee that's down there. Like, it was something he said multiple times. And mm-hmm. What I would argue, though, is that he has the truth as a defense, and while he shouldn't have said it, that doesn't make it false. And so, you know, I know you'd rather have him go about it a different way. And if he'd have said, you know, if you were the rookie starting right tackle, and if Aaron Rodgers was doing interviews and saying, yeah, well, we need a true right tackle, you know, not some rookie who's playing out of position, you wouldn't have liked that either, right? But
no.
what I would argue is that he didn't say anything that other people in the building aren't at least thinking. They may not do anything about it, but you know, I listened. Jim Matt Molly played for me on ESPN Madison. The clips of Jordan Love today. He was down there doing interviews too. I didn't think he exactly dispelled what Josh Jacobs said. I mean, his go-to line was, "Hey, when you've got good players and you add more good players, that's a good thing."
Yep.
Well, that's not exactly dispelling the idea that you need some, you know, more weaponry at the wide receiver position. So I just feel like, and Brian, you've obviously been indoctrinated into this now, having done this for a while, but having been a player, your mentality as a player is so different now than what your mentality is hosting a radio show. And I would just say that in this field, that I try to fight against this, and sometimes it's hard, but like I fought against the crowning of Jordan Love after his, and he was great during the second half of the 2023 season. You will not get an argument from me on that. I fully tell you he was playing the position as well as anybody in the NFL down the stretch of the 2023 season. But I always felt queasy about crowning him as, oh, he's going to be in the MVP conversation, and he's just the latest now after Favre and Rodgers. It's hard. And yeah, we saw that from him this year, especially with the injuries he dealt with. And I would like, I also said this about the wide receivers. Like, there's all kinds of reason to be excited about them. But none of them now, in whether it's 3 years for Dobbs, Watson, and the dearly departed Samori Toure, who I don't know if he joined another team this season or not, or 2 years for the Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, Grant Dubose, who was playing for the Dolphins, none of them rose up to say, I'm the next guy. I'm the next Devontae. I'm the next Jordy. I'm the next Greg Jennings. And all of those other guys I just mentioned and several before them all staked their claim as homegrown number one wide receivers. And that has yet to occur, mm-hmm. And that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, and you kind of nailed it, too, what you said about if Aaron would have said, you know, about the rookie, right? None of these guys are rookies that he mentioned about, right? Feelings are one thing. You're hurting a young guy's confidence. These guys aren't young guys anymore, right? They're going into year three, right, into year four and five. Like, at some point, right, like, and this comes for every NFL guy. Jason, you've seen it, obviously, longer. You've been covering this thing. Homer, you know it, too. At some point, you got to come good with it, right? Like, that's the way the NFL works. Like, you got to come good with it. And I get it. They've had great moments, right? Like, these wide receivers, they've shown great things. Last year, they showed great things. There were moments this year, but we're talking about a number one, right? That was the question. It wasn't about, are these guys talented? Do they do good things? The question was about a number one wide receiver. And that's mm-hmm. That's what this topic is about. It's not, are these guys good? Like, that, no one said they're not good. Like, that's right? Definitely not what the question is. It's, are they number one? Are they the Devontae Adams? Are they the Jordy Nelson, the T. Higgins, like guys like that? And that's kind of where Josh Jacobs was going and what Jordan Love didn't say, but what he kind of referred to, if you can add more good players, that's good for everyone. And that's kind of the way I see it. But I think you look at what also Jacob said, and if you look at the other two positions, if you rank, Jason, if you look at the other two positions he mentioned, defensive end and corner, out of those three, which one do you think is most important that Green Bay strengthens?
Well, I mean, you would hope that it's not defensive end, because you've spent first-round picks in 23 and in 19, and then paid the 19 guy in Rashawn Gary a huge contract. You would like to think that, when you pick guys in the first round, they're both going to be longtime productive starters. Well, you know, let's look at the guys you played with. Clay Matthews definitely was that. They nailed that pick. Nick yep. Perry had one really good productive season, but mostly Nick Perry was, you know, an okay, big defensive end, outside linebacker who set the edge against the run and didn't get a whole lot of sacks and was certainly not as good as you would have hoped as a first-round pick. Didn't get the fifth-year option, got a kind of a middling contract, then played really well during that one-year contract, got paid, and then was back to kind of being just a guy. So, you know, Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary were not good enough this season. You know, Matt LaFleur will tell you that. Goody will tell you that. They believe that they still will be good enough. So I would have to say corner, and here's why. I mean, look, let's read the writing on the wall here, right? I mean, you got Keyshawn Nixon telling us he doesn't want to be a kick returner anymore because he's going to be CB1, and you got Josh Jacobs mentioning defensive back or corner when he's talking about their needs. That tells me that Jair Alexander, as we all expected, the players aren't expecting him back either.
Yes, I thought that would have been the greatest follow-up if I'd have been asking the questions. Yeah, when you say that, Josh, I assume that Jair's not coming back. He wouldn't be adding cornerback if he was coming back, right?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
So again, the reality is those are all needs. I would also say that their offensive line needs a depth charge. They should always pick multiple offensive linemen because you don't always hit on those either. And we certainly saw what happened when Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford had to go into the game against the Eagles. So, you know, they have plenty of needs. They also need their existing guys to really make a jump. And I thought, combining what Goody said about a sense of urgency with what Murphy wrote in his column about what a pivotal offseason this is, like they are clearly acknowledging what we have been saying, but you know, teams very rarely want to acknowledge it. And that is, they got a lot of guys that got to make some big freaking jumps in 2025.
And are you confident they can? That's my question for both of you. One thing to say it, are you confident it's going to take place?
Look, I like Reed and I like Wicks. I think both of them are capable of it, but as Brian knows better than anyone, it doesn't matter what you're capable of. It matters what you do. And they have not done it yet. I see them as being capable of it, but it's up to them to actually do it. Like Tucker Kraft did. Like, we saw Tucker Kraft during the second half of his rookie season, and we're like, hey, this guy could be pretty damn good. And what did he do this year? He went out there and was even better. That's what you need to do, and you didn't see enough of the guys do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes me, you know, I think that's what Murphy was kind of getting at, right? Like, you know, you're looking at, you know, Van Ness, and you're looking at the receiver room, and it's such a big offseason because the way the season ended, and really, you know, you're looking how they – kind of finished off the last 6 to 8 games, you know, going in, there just wasn't a bunch of production, right? And like, that's normally how you gain momentum going into the off season and in the playoffs and all that. And you ride that wave and go into the off season and get all that going for the next season. And you just didn't see that. You can kind of judge that on how you can base how these guys are going to take that next jump into the next season and how they're developing. And, it's hard to make an assumption, right? You can't make an assumption. Are they talented enough? Yeah, I think so. I think they definitely can be, and they can make that jump. I mean, but you got to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to go out there and do it and show it. From a physical trait standpoint, all the guys mentioned, right? All the guys that Jason mentioned that, you know, we've talked about, all those guys have the physical traits to go do it. And they've shown glimpses of it. It's just like, it's pure consistency. It's time after time and time doing it again and again and again. It's not having a hot streak of 3 games and then shutting down for 8. Like, that doesn't do anyone any good. It's now, well, soon to be 18 games. Can you do it? And that's what remains to be seen, at least for me, with these guys. And then that's the deciding factor.
Yeah, you're right.
What do you think, Homer? Do you think that they can?
Yes, yes. I'm cautiously optimistic. I just wanted to have him go play. Goody has, I think, drafted well the last couple of years, though maybe the credit should go to the defensive coordinator if he's the one making the difference. I'm not sure which it is. So yeah, I want to see what happens. I blame LaFleur heavily for the problems with the offense. I'll never understand it, as smart as he seems to be. So I assume they're going to get the offense better, and they were top 10 in offense and defense points scored and given up, and that was exactly what they were in 2009 when they, and I'm not picking them to win the Super Bowl, but the numbers say they've become a good team. And I want a smarter LaFleur, and I think it'll be there. And rolling out, let's see what happens. You just damn well better not be a seven seed.
Yeah, you can't go down that path again. I mean, I think, and Jason, maybe you can, I mean, you guys, I don't know when you'll talk to Matt again. I don't know, I don't even know when that happens again, right? I mean, you'll know that. I mean, when do you guys speak to Matt again?
Yeah, I don't know, because he also doesn't go to the scouting combine. I'm guessing it's when he finishes his staff. What he usually does, he doesn't announce any of these hirings, and then once the staff is complete, then he'll there'll be an announcement, and then he'll talk to us then. And you can bet the questions won't just be about his staff. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's what I would guess. But I guess what I take from what I mean from Homer, what you're saying about him and the offense being better, I think it will be, because I think he's going to look back on 2 years worth of tape, right? 2 years worth of Jordan Love, and then probably one more year worth of Aaron Rodgers tape, and see what's worked and what hasn't. And then you add the addition of Josh Jacobs, and he's gonna crunch it all together and see what's worked, see what hasn't, and he's got to spit out a formula that works together with all the pieces, and that's got to be what they go ahead with, and with Steno and Butkus and this run game and then the pass game and the wideouts that they have, and then obviously if you add pieces, but it can't be what it was last year. I mean, at least in my opinion, because what Matt LaFleur's offense is with the run mirroring the pass, it just wasn't what his offense normally is, like his bread and butter. And that's something that I think he gets back to. And that's why the offense is going to be what it normally is, at least in my opinion. Now, everyone may think I'm crazy, but I don't think I am.
And you get to finish, Jason.
Yeah, look, I'm glad that Josh Jacobs said this, because it's been, I think, a really interesting and honest conversation about where this team is at. And it is fascinating to me more than anything that we're having these conversations, because they lost their last three games, right? They lost to the Vikings, they lost to the Bears, then they lose the playoff game. And this offseason just feels so vastly different than it did last year, when everything was puppy dogs and ice cream and seashells and balloons, because they won six of their last eight regular season games. The quarterback was playing great. They go down to Dallas and kick the crap out of the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy's team. Then they have the 49ers on the ropes. Like, we've gone from this, oh God, they're on their way, to this, oh boy, this is a really pivotal offseason. I wonder how it's going to play out. So it is. It's going to be fascinating. I'm eager to see it. But it is a very sharp difference between the conversations we would have been having on February 6th, 2024, and the conversations we're having now on February 6th, 2025.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga, not necessarily in that order. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com to hear it again. And everything Jason does, you just hit the button or the box that says Jason Wilde. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Yes, on Forest Home in Franklin. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. They're so good at it. Well, you'll discover it when you go there. And then you've got your auto body place forever. And then your kids have an auto body place. And yes, you'll be happy, as you'll tell me. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. And eventually, you'll thank me. So, yes, I tell you about Fisco so you'll have the best auto body place on Forest Home in Franklin. And that's so eventually you'll say, thanks, Homer. And you'll like me a little bit more. Yes, I benefit from Fisco, Fisco, Fisco 2. Third quarter. Next.